Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio Live, 101.3 KPCG online, kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com as well. Coming up on this Tuesday edition, a lot more about President Trump's immigration order. Seems like the world has stopped to everyone just look at this and see what's happening. Is the U.S. about to pull out of the Paris climate deal? There's a chance that that's going to happen as well. And California to consider becoming a sanctuary state, the whole state. That and more stories coming up on this Tuesday edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us on 101.3 KPCG, online at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com. This is Trumpet Radio Live, Tuesday edition. I'm Dwight Falk, and Grant Turgeon, back in the saddle again.
Yes, I am.
After the flu, the devastating flu. It's been going around. I was mentioning yesterday, it is at epidemic proportion or epidemic levels here in the U.S.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I mean, most everyone I know has had it pretty recently.
Did you have the normal symptoms of the cough and the headache and the fever and chills and et cetera?
I never quite got the whole flu, but I my whole throat swelled up pretty bad. And so I had phlegm, and then I also had just my sinuses were all clogged the whole time.
Now, listeners, I'm sure know this. I always struggle understanding the difference between the cold and the flu. What's the difference between those two?
I think the flu involves kind of the rest of your body shutting down. The cold's more confined to your head.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think like the flu, it kind of makes your muscles more achy, and you get the chills and everything else. That kind of shows that you've gotten into the flu.
When I was a kid, I always took it as cold was anything that was, you know, with your nose and stuff, and then flu was stomach. Like, that's the way I always thought of it growing up.
It can be.
Yeah.
That can be part of it. Like, if you have a bad flu, that means you're vomiting as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's usually every year in school, those two would make their rounds. And you were guaranteed to get them in grade school. And then once we got into middle school, high school, it seemed like maybe our immune systems got more robust. We started washing our hands, maybe. I don't know. We didn't get it the same way we did when we were kids. But, yeah, definitely when you're in school and you've got hundreds of other children with you, you're bound to catch something.
Right. Apparently, teachers build up an immunity after their first year or so, or at least if they're in the building all day long. I make a couple quick stops, so maybe I don't quite have that ability yet. But
right.
Yeah, a lot of teachers, they don't even get affected by it anymore after a while.
Yeah, I can just thinking back to especially grade school, there's a lot of things that happen there, you know, with illnesses that kids don't think about the fact that they're getting sick. And so that we'll spare the details, but sometimes people don't say anything and then all of a sudden you've got a problem. So that happens. It happened to me in kindergarten, actually.
Quarantine, I tell you. Quarantine would solve so much.
Yeah, it does. Unless sometimes it sneaks up on you. You don't,
true.
Just out of the blue. But, well, the Super Bowl's coming up this weekend. That's a big event for sports fans, even if you're not a sports fan. People like the pomp and circumstance, the ceremony, the pageantry, and the commercials. And so there's excitement about that, I think, on some level. Of course, they always are taking surveys to see who people want to win. Most people want the Falcons to win. Only 28% of America wants the Patriots to win. So, and we were talking about that earlier. You said you don't really care.
Yeah, I used to not like the Patriots just because they're division rivals of my favorite team. But after a while, I mean, Tom Brady's won 4 Super Bowls. If he wins a 5th one, he'd be alone at the top of quarterbacks winning Super Bowls all time. So that'd be quite a historic achievement to be able to watch. And, you know, the fact that they're winning all the time, I can't really waste too much of my hatred on them. It's not worth it.
You got to spread it around. Yeah, I don't have a particular care about it. I just hope it's a good game and close. And I think it's always a bit of a gamble for people that are paying for the commercials. Obviously, if you can get them in the first break or two, that's good. People are watching. But if you schedule them towards the end, it might be the most epic Super Bowl ever, and everyone's watching your commercial, or it might be a blowout by halftime, and people stop watching.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they factor in how much you pay for those, but you are running a risk. It could be awesome, or it could be terrible.
They should factor the pricing in there. Maybe have the beginning a little bit more expensive, because probably everyone's tuned in at that point. Through the middle of the game should be pretty consistent, but yeah, you're right. About halfway through, a lot of the time the game is decided whether it's going to be a good one or a bad one.
I would love to see somebody spend, it's millions of dollars for the 30 seconds. I'd love to see somebody spend the money and do one of those very poorly done local attorneys commercials. It would just confuse everyone, because you're expecting this amazing commercial, and then you got the two guys awkwardly staring at you with the wood paneling and the books behind, and they're talking about giving you money. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Everyone's seen those. I think that would probably win the day, because it would be so out of place.
It'd be so disconcerting, like a guy in North Dakota is advertising his law firm. How is anyone else in the whole country who's watching this going to be able to use this?
Right. Some local commercial where you're like, how did they get the millions of dollars to pay for that?
Must be successful. Maybe that's why we should all call into North Dakota.
He'll get his money. Yeah, he'll get you the money. So I'd love to see one of those just as a spoof. Again, who's going to spend millions of dollars on that? Maybe they could do that halfway and then at the end advertise the real product. It'd be pretty memorable.
It would. That's a great idea.
Throwing some ideas out there. Lots going on with immigration order that President Trump signed, I guess, the other day. The world's melting down. We have a lot of stories about that and the reaction to it. It's really not, if you look into it, it's really not quite as, or anywhere near as dramatic as people are making it out to be. It's just saying, hey, let's slow down on letting people in. We're going to vet them thoroughly, and then they can come in. A lot of people can still. But if you're coming from a terrorist nation, yeah, they're gonna take more look at you. But anyway, people are just melting down about it, including the former president. This is from Associated Press. Breaking silence, Obama speaks out on Trump immigrant order. And this is pretty unusual. Usually presidents, when they go out of office, they don't say much. You think about President Bush. He probably had a lot he wanted to say about what President Obama was doing, but he didn't say anything that I can remember. And so when President Obama left office, he said that he would, you know, he wouldn't say much, you know, unless he really felt like he had to. That lasted 10 days, and he's back. Former President Barack Obama praised protesters, of course he did, who amassed across the country in opposition to President Donald Trump's immigration orders, breaking his silence on political issues for the first time since leaving office. And again, it's not even been 2 weeks. Obama's office also circulated excerpts from a speech the former president gave in November of 2015, in which he called the idea of a ban on Muslims shameful. Now, again, this isn't a ban on Muslims. They're not banning Muslims. It's just that if you're coming from some of those countries, there's seven of them, and they're all terrorist-sponsoring nations, they're going to look at you a lot more closely. And maybe you won't come in for a while. That's okay. That's okay. It's an effort to keep America safe, and yet President Obama he couldn't keep quiet about it. So he's already talking.
Yeah, some of these people are just clinically dishonest. Specifically, the media continuing to tell the entire nation that it's a Muslim ban. It's a ban on potentially extremist Muslims from seven different nations. The list doesn't even include Afghanistan or Pakistan. I don't think it includes Algeria or Egypt or any of these other places where terrorists could easily come from. So potentially terrorists could still get in, but at least it's limiting the potential flow. It's all about protecting American people. It's, again, we always talk about how the people on the ground, the people who are directly impacted by these policies, would never agree with them. If someone came here from Somalia, and we've seen in Minnesota how that has had a pretty devastating impact. And, you know, what if your niece or your daughter were killed by a Somalian refugee? Would that be an okay policy then to not have any sort of a travel ban at all?
That's a really good point, because the people that are being the loudest right now are the typical Hollywood and some of these politicians. I would like to hear some people that have been affected by people coming from those nations doing committing terrorist attacks. I'd like to hear what they think about it. I'm sure they'd be plenty fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not like you can never come here. It's just we got to actually take a look at who's coming in. A few months back, there was somebody else that was in line as well at an airport, and they had to go through a little bit of a more of a specialized procedure. It took longer for them because they had been to Turkey. They'd taken a trip there. U.S. citizen, everything fine, but they just looked at it and said, wait, okay, you'd traveled there. We just want to sort this out and make sure things are okay. Took a few more minutes. The person got through fine. But just because that's a potential hot spot, you know, a terrorist nation, they just want to look at where you were going and check it out. And you know what? If you are following the law and you're not breaking the law, yes, you may be slowed up somewhat. I know this is a little different situation, but I'm just making the point. But then you go on your way. If somebody's trying to come into the country legally, they have no, you know, they're not breaking the law, it may take some more time, but chances are they could still come here at some point. I mean, what about a little patience? Do we have to let somebody in just because they demand it? It says who? You know, can you just do whatever you want whenever you want? It's just such a weird backlash. And just on the surface, it seems like they have a point. But when you look at what's actually happening, again, you just see that it's propaganda from the left.
Really, all the travel ban is also another delay, kind of like what you're saying about that U.S. citizen coming back from Turkey. It's not like people from those seven nations on the list are never going to be able to come here ever again. It's just a matter of vetting those people more thoroughly. To those people who are coming here from those places who are held up right now, it's not America's fault. It's the fault of all the people who are around you who are terrorists who would try to sneak in. And they've said they'll try to sneak in. ISIS terrorists have said they'll try to sneak in through our pretty much open door policy that we used to have to all of these hostile countries. It made no sense to just keep on letting everyone in when really terrorists could get in as well.
There's a really good write-up on thetrumpet.com yesterday kind of explaining what's going on a little bit more. And it's really good to go back and read that. It was a top story yesterday. And then, of course, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show has been talking about what's happening. And, you know, some of what you read from more, I think, honest news sources, really all that's happening is, I mean, this is kind of the policy the way it has been to some extent. President Obama then just threw the doors open, and now they're saying, well, hang on, let's look at this a little bit. And they're acting like, again, no one can ever enter the country for the rest of humanity's existence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy that people have to know that that's ridiculous. And they're up there. You've got a story later about some of the Hollywood people. They're crying. And one of the ladies, one of the actresses, was making a big scene about how her relative, or she's Jewish, and, you know, they were allowed to come to the country. And if they hadn't been, all this stuff. We're not talking about that. It's people coming from terrorist sponsoring nations. Iran, Iraq, Yemen. Okay, nobody's being banned from, you know, Canada or somewhere like that. And even those other nations, they're not being banned. It's just you're going to wait a certain period of time, and then we'll take it from there. There are so many things in life where people say, "You got to wait." You know, I might want to do something right now, but I have to wait. I can't just walk down to the house I see for sale and say, I'll take it, and walk in there and start, you know, sleeping on the couch. Hey, wait a second here. There's a process. Well, there's no difference. Just relax. Just wait.
And we couldn't do the same thing with another country either. We couldn't go to Australia and say, hey, I'm going to live here starting today.
Yeah.
As soon as you hop off the plane.
And then they say, well, hang on a second. And then you just cry and take video of it and put it all over the internet.
And
well, they're crying.
Call it racist.
Let them in. They're crying. They're sad.
It's so pathetic. The thing is, with all these people who are speaking out so vehemently, they're offering no alternative except for a complete open door, which everyone with a common or a sound mind knows is complete insanity. Offer your alternative. Otherwise, you're just trying to force people to believe what you want by saying anyone who thinks this travel ban is acceptable is just a horrible person.
Right. I mean, it's easy to go out and protest in the street or go on Twitter. But for everybody that does that, do they want to put their name and their address and their phone number on a list for the people to come live with them?
Or right next to them?
Yeah.
Wouldn't even like that.
You know, Tom the protester, Sally the protester, great. Let them come. They'll live in your house starting today. You figure it out. You have to sort which rooms and, you know, who's going to pay the bills, but you figure it out. People, nobody would go for that. Nobody would go for that. But yet, nationally, they think, well, just let them pour on in.
And the ones who are the loudest about this are almost always rather wealthy liberals who obviously aren't going to be affected by it at all. Those refugees are not going to be moving into the gated neighborhood full of mansions with its own personal golf course.
Right.
That just won't happen. So obviously they're kind of making a false show of compassion to the refugees, knowing that they will never have to do a thing about it except for actually pay their taxpayer dollars for that.
Yeah. So it's quite an outcry against all of it. And this is spilling over. Of course, California, they're very, very much on the liberal side of things, or the radical left, I guess. And they are literally left on the map as well. So that's I guess, ties in somehow as far as geography. But they're going to consider, they say, this is from CBS Los Angeles, California to consider enacting a statewide sanctuary. They want the whole state to be a sanctuary state. California may prohibit local law enforcement from cooperating with federal immigration authorities, creating a border-to-border sanctuary in the nation's largest state as legislative Democrats ramp up their efforts to battle President Donald Trump's migration policies. I don't even know how that would be legal to do, but they say the legislation is scheduled for its first public hearing Tuesday as the Senate rushes to enact measures that Democratic lawmakers say would protect immigrants from the crackdown that the Republican president has promised. I just don't even understand what the argument is. If somebody's here illegally, they shouldn't be here. That's the rule. Like, why are they don't want any rules? No borders, no rules, no anything, just people roaming around the earth in huge packs, you know, pilfering and taking resources and moving to the next. It's like Genghis Khan. I just don't even understand. I know what they'll say. Well, so-and-so's lived here for a long time and they've got a wife and they're sad if they have to leave. And okay, I get that, but you're breaking the laws. How do they think this is going to work? It just makes no sense.
We have to compare the way they respond to other groups in society that might need a little bit of help, like America's veterans who are tragically underserviced the way it is right now. Why are Democratic politicians so concerned about the illegal immigrants but not the veterans? You just have to wonder. I mean, it has to be something about votes.
Sure. Yeah, obviously. They just want to build a voter base, right? You know, if we call it what it is.
Why else would they care about completely sure. random people they've never met?
Yeah, because if you can get a whole group of people and say, you staying here, it depends on me being in power. That's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. All the compassion and the fake tears and signing a glass wall or something like they did at the one Hollywood show. It's about, I'm going to stay in power and I'm going to bring in this group of people that they need me to stay. And that's really what it is, isn't it?
And it's not even dangerous down the line. It's dangerous right now because of all these states who don't even require you to show a license when you show up to vote. So they're not even just waiting for the immigrants to eventually, hopefully, one day become legal and support them. Those illegal immigrants can support the Democrats right now.
Wouldn't you love to just have an honest day where everyone, they just can't help it. They have to tell you the truth.
For everything they're doing.
Politicians, people. I mean, it would be really eye-opening, wouldn't it? You know, put away all the sad stories and the poems and everything you're doing and just tell the truth. I want to stay in power.
I just want votes and money.
Votes and money and power, and I need you to do it, and that's what's happening. That's what's happening.
It is. It's painfully
just
obvious.
At least call it what it is. I think that's why people appreciated President Trump a little bit. Because at least I think he said what he means, and said what he meant, and meant what he said.
Right.
Whether you agree or not, at least it was somewhat honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is confusing how anyone could support the radical left and the way that they are blatantly cheating the system to get what they want. I mean, to have basically no moral compass guiding what's going on here. I mean, how can you feel about yourself supporting that?
It's very interesting. Lots of good write-ups at thetrumpet.com about the whole topic of immigration and what's happening. And, of course, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, too, has had some really outstanding programs on that recently. And I'm sure Trumpet Hour will tackle it as well, so a lot to get there. And you need that, because otherwise, if you're just reading the headlines that are out there, it gets a little murky, to say the least. But if for people that, you know, I guess if people that are more in the radical left camp, I don't know if they like these days or they don't. On one hand, they probably don't, but on the other hand, they get to complain. And so maybe they kind of like doing it. I don't know. Here's something else coming down the pipe from Fox News. Former Trump aide says U.S. will pull out of Paris climate deal within days, potentially. So that's another sacred cow, if you will, of the left. Myron Abel, who helped the Trump administration's Environmental Protection Agency transition, told reporters that Trump was determined to undo Barack Obama's climate change initiatives. They said, "I expect Donald Trump to be very assiduous." There you go. "In keeping his promises, despite all of the flack he is going to get from his opponents," which he will. And they said he could do it by executive order tomorrow, or he could wait and do it as part of a larger package. "There are multiple ways, and I have no idea of the timing exactly," they say. But it looks like the U.S. is going to pull out of this Paris climate deal. There's 194 countries that signed up for that. And, you know, and of course, ever since they signed it, we've had nothing but utopia and peace on the earth. But so there's a big there's going to be a lot about that. People are going to be pretty upset if he pulls out. But then on the other hand, a lot of people are going to be pretty happy.
Yeah, that's right. Tucker Carlson of Fox News recently interviewed a student newspaper editor who had written a column suggesting that if Mr. Trump pulls out of the climate talks, he would go flip cars and that others should follow him in doing so.
Is he the Incredible Hulk? Like, how's he going
to
flip him?
He might need a whole band of fellow social justice warriors to do so.
It's hard to get down and grab that car when you're wearing skinny jeans. But, I mean, I don't know what they're wearing, but that seems like what the people wear. But all joking aside, I mean, that's pretty strong rhetoric. Like, are you really going to go out and flip somebody's car over because of that? That makes no sense.
Well, then Tucker Carlson asked him whose cars he would flip.
Yeah.
I mean, what if the people whose cars he flipped actually were in support of the climate deal and they didn't want Mr. Trump to pull out either? You're just going to victimize those same people by destroying their cars?
Right. And that's that, but that is kind of the tactic, and that we do see is sort of the temper tantrum. Mm-hmm. If I don't get what I want, I'm going to have a temper tantrum about it. Now, whether they actually, you know, do what they say or not, they probably wouldn't do that. But who knows? But we've seen that in all kinds of protests, and it reminds me. I read a headline yesterday. It was pretty eye opening in a lot of ways. It should be alarming to people. There was a protest. I think it was over the weekend. And I want to say it was in Seattle, somewhere up in that area. And a lady's protesting. She's wearing a Black Lives Matter shirt or jacket or something. And she gets caught, you know, she gets recorded. Some of the things she's saying and the crowd is responding to. I can't say what she said because of all the language. But the basic thing she said was, "We want all of the whites' money. We want your houses. We want everything." And somebody starts yelling about reparations. So What are we talking about here? Okay, I know people could say, well, that's one person. But come on, that is sort of the flavor of what's going on. What are we talking about where you, like, people that are protesting climate change or they're protesting for the Black Lives Matter movement? Fairness or just give us what we want, get out of our way? I think it's the latter.
We talked a few weeks ago, too, about how American civics classes have been hijacked as a tool for the radical left. It used to be that if you wanted change in the political system, you would vote about it or you would discuss it calmly and maybe have a debate. Now, what you're going to do is bypass the political system and start protesting in the streets, start community organizing, start stirring up strife so that you can get your way. This is what we're seeing, whether it's a suggestion to flip cars or to say that you want all of the white people's things, even though about 5% of them today actually came from slave-owning ancestors. Let's just forget about that. Just because of the color of their skin, just because they're white people, it's their fault for slavery almost 200 years ago.
Yeah, you want to talk about racism. I mean,
yeah,
that's what it is. But so that is kind of what's happening as far as the division in the country. And with this this particular story about the maybe pulling out of this Paris climate deal, Europe's a little bit concerned about that, too. European Commission Vice President Maros Sefcovic, who helped broker the Paris Agreement, told Reuters He hoped Trump would agree to keep the U.S. in the deal. He said, I wouldn't hide that in discussion with our partners. There is a lot of anxiety over future U.S. policies, which I think is the interesting point, even beyond the climate change issue. He says, if the U.S. administration decides to go in a different direction, I think sooner or later they will have to come back to the realization that climate change is happening. I don't think that's going to be a big issue on people's minds in a few years, but Europe is concerned about President Trump, what he's doing. That's been talked about a lot on the Trump Daily Radio Show. Any country that leaves the Paris deal would have to wait 4 years to get back in. I don't know that that's a penalty, but
he's not. Mr. Trump's not going to care about that in the slightest if he's the one who leaves.
No, but Europe, they're not real excited about a lot of the things that America is doing. So we'll see what happens with the climate change deal if they pull out of that, and if they do, you can imagine another meltdown coming to a media outlet near you.
Yeah, it just shows such a twisted sense of priorities that people actually think that climate change is the biggest threat to human survival right now. Like, that's the most imminent threat. That's the thing that could destroy us first.
Right.
How could that be true when we're constantly seeing ice caps growing? They're actually getting bigger. You know, polar bear populations are thriving. It makes no sense at all that we're still complaining about this.
No matter what happens, they say it's because of climate change. Like, global warming, I guess, would be considered the same thing. So, you know, whether it's warmer than normal, well, it's climate change, or it's global warming. If it's colder than normal, well, it's because it doesn't matter what happens. It's always right. because of that thing. And it's snowing. Well, it's because it's January, you know. It usually happens.
Now they have that term, climate denier. You're a climate denier. Notice how that's kind of similar to Holocaust denier. They make it like this is an absolute, obvious, historical fact. Mm-hmm. This is climate change. This is real. We have thousands of years to pattern it. It's obviously true, and if you don't believe it, you're just a moron who hates science. That's basically what they're saying. There's actually a great article on thetrumpet.com. I think we've talked about it before. It came out about a year ago from Mr. Robert Morley. It's called The Climate Summit Wasn't About the Climate, and that just perfectly sums it up, that it really is a power and a money grab. It's not about people caring about the environment or having some sort of a twisted moral compass where that's their most important priority.
Right, and it's hurt U.S. manufacturing, the economy, and there's plenty of things that are bad about the environment, but the thing is, no other nations are really doing anything about it. I mean, China's happy to sit there and say, oh yeah, go ahead. And I think they said, well, yeah, we might do something about that sometime down the road, as they continue to just pump away the toxins into the air, their cities, which is bad for the people. But this is interesting too. Fox News here, this is another story. Austria bans use of full face veils in public places. Europe's tightening down a little bit. So even though there's a lot of attention about what's happening in the U.S., President Trump with his travel ban for a while, look what Europe's doing, following in the footsteps of other countries. Austria is set to prohibit the use of Islamic full face veils in courts, schools, and other public places. And they say, we believe in an open society that is also based on open communication. Full-body veils in public spaces stand against that and will therefore be prohibited. That was the text of the coalition agreement they've signed. The measure was approved by the coalition of Social Democrats and Centrist People's Party. And they're doing that, they think, in an effort to counter the rise of the far-right Freedom Party. So there's a kind of this more extreme, as some people would view it, Freedom Party, and then the people that are considered more liberal, I guess, they've got to sort of meet them partway to not lose votes. And so they're banning the full-face veil in public places. There are reportedly 600,000 Muslims in Austria. There's 8.61 million in the total population of Austria, people in general, and then 600,000 Muslims. That gives you some idea of how many people there are versus the rest of the population.
Right, and imagine what the so-called far right in Austria would do if they're trying to already just ban face veil, you said? A face veil?
Yeah, they're going to, the full face veils in public places.
Yeah, it would be a lot worse if the far right were in there. They might just deport everybody, which at this point, it might be a good idea.
That is really interesting because the radical left here in the U.S., they don't seem to really go after Europe very much. I haven't heard much anyway. Mm-hmm. They kind of look at Europe as like the model of progressive values. but yet they're tightening down the screws. I mean, imagine if President Trump came out and said that. There'd be an outrage here in the U.S.
Right. Europe is several steps ahead of us when it comes to really being desperate because of refugees. We obviously have a crisis at the southern border ourselves, but it's not impacting us on such a large scale just because our country is so large and we have so many more people. But in many nations across Europe, that is just an epidemic for them already.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at Austria having a population of 8.61 million and there's 600,000 Muslims in there, I mean, that's a huge percentage. But it's interesting when you look at the religion breakdown. I think it's like 86% Christian, and then the Muslims are like 5%, something like that. So they are still way outnumbered, but they're having an impact. And again, so what are you looking for? I mean, you do look to see history repeat itself, and there's always a culture clash, and there's always a religion clash. There just always is.
Mm-hmm. And Muslims don't really care if they're the majority. A part of the plan, at least for the radical ones, is to kind of outbreed the home population,
right,
and eventually become the majority. Or even if they're the vast minority, you know, a few attacks can balance that out as well.
And that's what's happening in Germany. Their population's rising, but it's not because it's Germans. We talked about that the other day. It's a lot of the immigrants coming in. You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live here, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com. You can follow us on Twitter at kpcgfm and email us any comments to comments@kpcg.fm. We appreciate getting those. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, and Abraham Blondeau stopping by as well. Good to see you, Abraham.
Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah. You guys familiar with Oprah Winfrey, of course. Everybody knows
Who?
Oprah. Everybody knows Oprah from something. Her show or Weight Watchers or commercials. She's everywhere. Book clubs. Well, she's going to be on 60 Minutes now. She's going to be a contributor to 60 Minutes. So you can see Oprah there this fall.
Yeah, I wonder if in the middle of one of her interviews, she's like, look under your seat. There's a brand new car there for you.
Right.
A brand new car.
She'll be interviewing Assad over in Syria. Yeah. Look under your seat. It's Tom Cruise's latest autobiography. She'd always have him on the show, famously. He was on the Oprah Winfrey Show. But she's excited about it. She said that she's been a big admirer of 60 Minutes since her early days as a young reporter. She said, I'm so excited and proud to join forces with the historic news program. And she said, at a time when people are so divided, my intention is to bring relevant insight and perspective to look at what separates us and help facilitate real conversations between people from different backgrounds. It's a noble goal. I don't know that she'll be able to do it. I think that I watch 60 Minutes occasionally, and they have some pretty good in-depth stories at times, but they're also pretty left-leaning a lot of times.
Yeah, I think with her, I think she's pretty well-respected. I mean, at least to my knowledge, she hasn't been over the top one way or the other on a lot of issues. So I think she has a lot of credibility, more so than other people in her position. But then again, just with, I think, what, Megyn Kelly just moved to NBC in this last week, too. So it'd be interesting to see if they can make a big impact or if people will even listen to her on 60 Minutes, since people get their news from other places now.
Yeah, I don't know that people would consider her a serious journalist. She's more of, because she was a talk show host.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she had an interesting show for, mainly for women, an women audience. But, it's tough to make that transition. Katie Couric struggled. She was more of the morning anchor there at NBC, which is a little lighter, and then she's trying to do hard-hitting stuff, so it's hard to do.
Does this mean she's also giving up her own show?
I don't know. Didn't say what she's... Okay. She's got a whole media company,
yeah,
and she kind of does
her
a lot of things.
Her own TV channel, right?
Yeah.
At least.
So I don't know how it's doing. The last I'd heard, it wasn't doing great, but who knows? This might be of some interest to somebody. If you ever played Pac-Man, that's everybody, right? Father of Pac-Man died, 91 years old. His name was Masaya Nakamura. He founded Namco, if that's how you say it, the Japanese company behind the wildly popular dot-munching video game in 1955.
Wow.
So obviously it took a while to get it all sorted out. It began with two electric horses on the roof of a department store, and then the company, of course, went on to do Pac-Man and other things. So he died at 91 years of age. Probably made a fortune on the old Pac-Man.
Yeah, I mean, that's still one of those really popular games people still play.
Yeah.
They put it on their phones now. But Yeah, it's I think every child has a part of their childhood to one degree or the other.
And of course, it led. I don't know. I think they patterned a number munchers off of Pac-Man. If you guys ever played that, we have to go eat like every number divisible by two.
Oh wow!
I played that a fair bit.
That sounds really fun.
It is fun. Learn a little bit about math too. Yeah. And so it's sort of similar. Of course, this one happened, and Abraham sent this along. It's from the National Post. Headline is this: you know the weather is bad when you find a moose in your basement. Yeah, you do. They say it's been a rough winter in the American West, probably because of climate change, with heavy snowfalls that are causing trouble for even the hardiest locals, the moose. Take, for example, the Idaho moose in the photo above, and that you can find that online. It says, like a lot of wildlife in the area, it probably meandered early Saturday into the town of Haley in pursuit of food, according to the Blaine County Sheriff's Office. It ended up tumbling down a window well and crashing into the carpeted basement of a house, they say, which, to be fair, looked pretty cozy. So imagine that. Middle of the night, you're sleeping, you hear some ruckus, probably go down there to check it out, and of course, you have a moose in your basement.
Can you relate, Abraham?
I've never had a moose in my basement. I've had a moose near our barbecue we were doing, and I took refuge in the car and was to look out through the sunroof. But that's a close experience I have with this.
You went down the basement. It was just your brother tripping over boxes.
Yeah. Well, someone in my family, I won't mention who, actually has moose slippers. So I actually probably could relate to this because there is some ruckus in the basement sometimes.
Like actual, made out of like moose skin?
No, like the big fluffy ones with the antlers.
I gotcha.
I won't say who, but someone wears those in our family. So I imagine they cause just as much destruction as a moose in the basement, literally.
Yeah. Well, this is, you can imagine, those are huge animals. Sheriff deputies, police officers in Idaho Department of Fish and Game, Senior Conservation Officer Alex Head, were called to the scene about 2:30 a.m. You can imagine the phone call. Please hurry, there's a moose in my basement. They're like, oh, this one again. They tried to coax the animal up the stairs, but the moose was having none of it, they say, charging several times. What would you say? You know, come on. Here we go, boy. Attaboy. What do you say to a moose? How do you coax it?
Probably with
need to kill it, actually.
A trail of food. But
what do they eat?
Anything. Well, I think they eat grain and anything like a cow would eat, corn and oats or probably Skittles.
Yeah. But you know, the thing is, do you want it to go upstairs and smash the rest of your house?
No.
Well, what they ended up doing was they had to sedate the moose, and it slipped. He said, fittingly, it slipped into a more mellow state near a Bob Marley wall tapestry that was hanging in the basement. You know, dogs love reggae. We did a story about that the other day, so maybe the moose does as well. And he was sedated. And then this part I think is kind of funny. They say with all hands on deck, the sleeping giant was carried up the stairs. That would have been heavy. And out the front door. Now listen to this. They say it woke up in the snow-covered street, groggy and confused, but free. That sounds like a lot of early mornings there in some states, I suppose. Yeah. Where lots of people wake up groggy and confused, but free, just like the moose.
I think that story has a lot of deep metaphors to it if we think about it long enough.
You don't look so good today, bud. Well, there was a moose in the basement. Maybe it means something else. Yeah, well, it's a wild story there, and I can't even imagine waking up and having a moose in your basement. That's why we don't have basements here in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Keep the moose out. And whatever else.
I think there's been a snake and like little geckos and stuff in houses we've lived in, but I've never had to deal with a large animal.
Yeah, it would be a pretty freak thing for it to get in there. Make sure you listen for the Key of David program, Trumpet Daily Radio Show, both coming up here in a bit on KPCG. You can get the archives at kpcg.fm as well. And all of the programming can be found there at kpcg.fm. Abraham, you've got a story here from CTV News. Donald Trump fires Justice Department head over clash on refugee ban. We've been talking a lot about it today. You really can't avoid it because it's such the big news and the reaction to it. And so they had a clash, the Justice Department head and President Trump, as he's been famously known to do on his TV show, said, "You're fired."
Yeah. I think everyone was hoping that that's actually what he said.
You're fired.
But yeah, this is a really, I think, significant event because to me, everything with this refugee ban, well, the 90-day probation on the people from the seven different countries, and then also just a lot of the executive orders from Donald Trump. To me, the a very significant reason for this is we're seeing the precedent set by President Obama being fully embraced by Donald Trump with the expansion of the executive power. So I think with as much as Democrats applaud President Obama, they do have to live with the consequences of his style of government. And I think Donald Trump is taking it to another level where he's being, he is moving very fast, and he's making sure everyone in his administration is on board. And with this, there's another layer to this. So Sally Yates was a Democrat appointee there to caretake the office of the Attorney General until Donald Trump's nomination can be confirmed by the Senate, who is Jeff Sessions, who has been very controversial, of course, in his nomination. So basically, they expect Jeff Sessions to be to pass his confirmation hearing in a number of days. So the firing of her isn't necessarily dramatic. He probably just got her out of the way, got that opposition out of the way, so Jeff Sessions can come in to a clean department. But at the same time, it does show that Donald Trump will keep his promises. And if people get in his way, he will deal with them one way or the other. In this case, he did fire her. And this does go back to when President Nixon did fire his attorney general and deputy attorney general because they wouldn't fire the special prosecutor for the Watergate scandal. So some people are making comparisons there, although Watergate and a refugee ban are two very different things. But I think, to me, the big thing to take away from all this is that it does show Trump's style of leadership, and also shows the power of the executive that has been so much more expanded since President Obama left office.
Right, yeah. People aren't really even blinking an eye at the fact that he's signing executive orders. At least I haven't seen a lot about that aspect of it. And, you know, for the lady that got fired there as well, it's probably what she sort of wanted anyway, because now she's kind of like this martyr for the left. You know, she took the stand and all of that. And so she probably was happy enough with that, too. It's probably what she wanted.
Yeah, everyone understands that it was a symbolic gesture because, I mean, she doesn't believe in the thing she was supposed to defend, so that's fair that she would resign or be fired for it. Happens a lot. But
you know, I wonder though what she really believes. I mean, I wonder if she really is taking a stand for something that she just holds as this deep, deep principle, or if she just knew, like, okay, this will not be looked upon favorably by the left, and I'm of the left, therefore I'm going to do it. Like, if it's just a peer pressure thing. I always wonder about that with a lot of the protesters or the Hollywood stars. Is this really, are these things that are really their deep, deep personal belief that they'll fight for, even if they're all alone? I just tend to think not, because humans just usually go with peer pressure. And their crowd, their group, you know, like, I think we're going to talk about the Hollywood stuff here in just a second, but, you know, the other night they were giving their big speeches, everyone was cheering and crying. Well, of course, I mean, you know what people want to hear. Would anybody get up there and say, actually, I agree with it, and I think it's a tremendous thing, and thank you for this award? You know, he'd be booed off the stage. But I just always have to wonder, you know, if people really hold those beliefs, whether it be about the immigration or anything else, or if they're just going along with the flow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Sally Yates' motivation was. There's probably some kind of principle behind it in what she did. But at the same time, someone like her does not have a future in the next 4 years for any high office in the Justice Department and right. Donald Trump's presidency. So this was probably the best thing she could do to gain some notoriety from her place there as Attorney General.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, otherwise she'll be leaving in a few days with Jeff Sessions coming in.
Yeah. Why didn't she make a big protest with the wet foot, dry foot policy?
Right.
Where the Cubans were forced back into basically a prison. And you know what happens when you go back there under bad terms. There's lots of documentation. It's not good. How come there was no outrage there? I know that's been mentioned, but I think it's worth remembering. How come there was no big outcry? How come there was no protest? Oh, because they don't really care. It's just whatever they're told is important or they want to make a stink about, that's what they go after. It's not based on any sort of principle. Because if it was, they would have taken a stand against that policy, the wet foot, dry foot revoking of that policy.
Right. That's a really great point to bring out. And I think this does show a lot of hypocrisy and vacillation by the left with refugee policies over the last 8 years. Because even with there has been evidence that they've blocked Christians from coming over from the Middle East in favor of Muslims. And now that Trump's reversing that, there's a huge outcry over it. And just the unprecedented protests over this when it's taken way out of scale. It's a 90-day probation in order to get a better footing on the security of certain people coming in. I mean, it's not an over-wide ban of these nations forever. It's right. 90-day probation. And in all fairness, with terrorism going on, the Democrats didn't have a better option. They didn't have a better plan. And so people might oppose this plan, but you have to let them try and see if it works. To try to stop, I mean, would people rather have a San Bernardino or Florida shooting again instead of at least, I mean, some people think it's unconstitutional, you might think what you want, but they are trying to help the American people, like Mike Pence said. He said that we don't hate the people outside of America. We love the ones inside of America, and so we want to protect them first.
Right.
And that's the logic behind the ban. And so I think it's overreactionary with the response to it, especially when it is about national security. It's not about some soft issue. It's about people's lives. And I think people need to give the administration a chance to strengthen our security. And this is probably one of the least things they could do compared to what President Obama's done with the NSA, making it the most intrusive organization in history. I mean, would you want more of that, or would you go along with this probation?
Well, and again, like you said, it's a 90-day wait. And both of you guys, either you know personally or within your family, you have some immigration situations where people are trying to legally come to this country.
Yeah, so, I am an immigrant.
Yeah, exactly. Do you just walk down there and say, hey, I want to be a citizen and I want everything right now? Does that work, or is that your experience, or is there a waiting period? Waiting period, yeah.
Yes, yeah, a long waiting period.
A long one.
And an expensive period as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's just this idea that something's being withheld from somebody when it's like, it's only a 90-day wait. You have to wait 90 days for a lot of things. And you have to wait 90 days until summer ends.
Right.
Abraham, you're not a citizen yet, or are you now?
No.
Of America?
No, I doubt I'll become a citizen, not because I don't love America, but just for having dual passport. It's just, but
it's a process.
Yeah, exactly. And
it's expensive even without becoming a citizen, was what I was kind of getting at. My wife's not becoming a citizen, and it's already costing multiple thousands of dollars to let her stay here legally, even.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It's even, I mean, being a citizen is even a harder route to take, but even just being able to work here is difficult enough. Coming from, I mean, refugees and that thing are different, but just for someone from Canada coming,
it
can be rather difficult.
It's a process for sure. And in the same vein here, you have a right of grant from the Federalist. Trump's immigration order triggers left's cultural totalitarianism. That's a mouthful. What's that about?
Right. Well, this is actually pretty similar to what Abraham was just talking about in one respect, because it's just saying how people can't seem to make up their minds about what they think is good and what they think is evil. Basically, it depends on which administration is enacting these certain measures. For example, like you said, why didn't they get upset about banning Cuban immigrants? Why, they weren't upset about that, but they're upset about immigrants from terrorist-sponsoring countries.
Right, and they've taken, I guess we're in the award season. Just because I keep seeing headlines about it, so my assumption is we're in some sort of an award season. They're awarding themselves for something, for movies. And so it's become an opportunity to go up there, get your award, and make your political speech, and people to applaud, and people to cry. And everyone's got a story about somewhere back in their history, they were immigrants too. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to humanity. but again, as we were mentioning, are these deep held beliefs that they're willing to fight for, or is it just trying to be cool with the cool kids, if you want to say it in that way? And I think they just want to be cool.
Right. And speaking of those immigrants in the past who founded the country, are they known as immigrants or are they known as Americans? Which one takes precedence? Which one is the most important qualifier? They're clearly Americans first because they came here and they assimilated and they contributed to building the country. I have a hard time even imagining a lot of the immigrants we're taking in from these impoverished nations ever assimilating. If they're just going to come here and most of them can receive assistance from the very start and it's on the taxpayers' backs, there's not a whole lot of motivation to really climb the ladder.
Yeah, and again, it's not like people aren't allowed to come. They certainly are, but there's just a process. You've got to at least take a look at the person and say, so where are you from? What are your intentions? And you're never going to totally know, but you've got to do your part to at least vet them on some level.
Right. That's just one example of this idea where the left used to be in favor of certain things, but now they're not, or vice versa. It says here, now travel bans are evil, racist, bigoted, discriminatory. But just a few months ago, they were the sign of an enlightened social leader expressing disfavor at legal actions taken by the duly elected representatives of millions of people. So I believe that's talking about Mr. Obama doing that to Russian officials.
Mm-hmm.
That was a travel ban, by the way.
Right.
The state of California has enacted a travel ban against the state of Kansas.
What?
Because religious representatives are leading religious institutions in Kansas, and Californians don't like that.
How are you going to enforce that?
I don't know. It doesn't make much sense.
It's not even legal.
But there you go. Isn't it amazing how we direct all of our outrage at certain travel bans, but not other travel bans? Is a travel ban good or is it bad? Let's
right.
just simplify it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, the way they're talking about it, you would think that if anybody's movement is restricted in any way, ever, anywhere, everything must stop to fix that.
Right.
And yet, hey, can I get into the award show? Can I get into these award shows and sit in the front row? No, why? Because I have a travel ban. I can't get in there. They won't let me in the party.
Exactly.
So, but, you know, they should be crying about that. They could say, I too used to not be a star, just like this man. But, you know, you can't keep him out. Let me in your award shows.
Well, that's Grant brings up a great point. I think people who say we are the America's a nation of immigrants, of course that's true, but it's different. And a big reason why it's different is because there's proof. Other nations who've taken in large groups of people from Islamic countries, not all the time, but by allowing certain factions in through not very rigorous vetting, it has allowed dangerous parts of society to come in. There's tons of evidence for this. Britain, there's Holland, the rapings in those cities
right.
by immigrants, even Sweden, but also parts in London where police officers can't even go. It's off limits for them because there's Sharia law.
Travel ban.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not even lawful. That's just something we allow them to do when they're breaking the law. And even in Canada, there was a very extensive network of not terrorism's attacking Canadians, but funding the Tamil Tigers, Hamas, all these other terrorist groups. They even became so powerful the Liberal Party used them to be elected in certain ridings. Now that's from not very good vetting. And people need to understand there's proof for why the administration, why people take these steps. It's not reactionary. It's not because they're racist. It's because there's proof it can destroy people's lives.
Well, even yesterday, didn't Iran, and now they're not, they haven't totally verified it, but they launched a missile, right? In violation of the big UN nuclear agreement, I don't know, I guess it's a UN one, but that they've never signed nor follow any time ever. How about that? Like, they clearly, as a nation, are defying everything, and they say they want to destroy us. Yeah, if somebody's coming in from Iran, I'd put a little red flag on that. Like, what? Let's just at least talk about this.
Yeah.
And those are the nations that they're looking at, but yet the left can't make up its mind which way to go.
Right, and the examples here are endless. It goes far beyond immigration from certain countries or not other countries. Talking about maybe refusing service if you're a business to certain people, that was a big problem when Christian bakeries or Christian photography services refused to serve at a lesbian or a homosexual wedding. But now when you have a fashion designer refusing to outfit Mrs. Trump because of supposedly Mr. Trump's views or his statements on the campaign, they're heroic.
Right.
They're not discriminatory or bigoted anymore. They're heroic because it supports what the radical left believes. There's another example of that. Another one, we were extremely concerned about corporations influencing politics, especially when you talk about like the Koch brothers, because they're conservative. But now if you talk about these other companies that don't necessarily openly speak out about Mr. Trump, websites like BuzzFeed are going around and tracking the people who support Mr. Trump and putting them on a banned list.
Wow.
A lot of these different websites are doing that. They're saying, hey, boycott these people because they do not align with us politically. Well, I thought that we weren't supposed to even be talking about politics or influencing politics anyway.
Well, and that's what happens when you get away from an absolute law. It just changes all the time. And you just have to go with whatever the popular movement is. And that's the thing about people that are, say, protesting, or they feel like, hey, we're part of this movement. You're being played. That movement shifts all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just whatever the people in power want it to be. And they'll you know, raise an issue or paper over an issue. It's like the press coming out and saying that the Obama administration didn't have any dramas or
scandals.
Scandals. Thank you. Oh yeah, hundreds. I mean, maybe more serious ones. But they just said, nah, nothing to see here. Move on. Cubans being sent back. That's great. We don't care. Oh, the other side doesn't want to let other people in for a while? Oh, we've got to cry and scream and kick our feet and make a deal. Can't people see it's just shifting around? There's no absolute law. There can't be, because it's lawless.
Mm-hmm.
It's chaos, and it just keeps changing with the flavor of the day. And that's what, ideally, democracy was supposed to guard against, because you didn't want the dictator in there just changing every day what he wants to do. But that's what the left's doing.
Right, and we have celebrities who are crying and stomping their feet now. Grumpy Greg Popovich repeatedly speaking out against Mr. Trump. We're all citizens on the same level, and yet certain people think they're more important and that they can demand you agree with them. They don't give any reasons for why. They just say you're horrible and a bigot if you don't agree.
Greg Popovich. Okay. he should take a note from Tim Duncan. Just don't say anything.
Exactly.
That'll do it for us on Trumpet Radio Live today. Thanks for joining us here on this Tuesday. For myself, Dwight Falk, Grant Hurge, and Abraham Blondo, have a great Tuesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.